This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Gospel, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that through your word you reveal your Son to us, so that in trusting him we may live truly wisely. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start today's sermon by looking ahead in Matthew's Gospel to Matthew chapter 11. We hear these words from Jesus. He says, it's a prayer, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things, God's just judgments, from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, Jesus has just been proclaiming woe on unrepentant cities. He proclaims these woes even though outwardly, to human appearance, nothing has changed. And then he thanks his Father, Jesus does, that God's just judgments are hidden from the wise and the intelligent, and revealed to little children. He goes on to say that only those know the Father who have the Father revealed to them by the Son. God's revelation is necessary if we are to come to knowledge of who God is. No human wisdom or intelligence on its own will get us to this revelation. We simply, like little children, must receive what God freely gives. Now, after those words, Jesus goes on to give a wonderful invitation to all of us. And we'll come to those words at the end of the sermon. But isn't it strange here, on a day that we think about the wise men coming to pay homage to Christ, to consider that Jesus himself says that it's not wisdom that gets us to God, not human wisdom, that is. Now, this in mind, let's listen to what's going on in today's gospel reading. Because we hear in today's gospel reading about those outside the kingdom of God who have a sort of human wisdom, and it gets them so far, even to Jerusalem. But from there, they hear the word of God, Scripture, and that together with created order brings them to Christ. When these Gentiles are brought to Christ, they give their best gifts and return home safely. This is how the text starts. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Here these people are called wise men. Perhaps also you know Three Kings or the Magi. Now the Magi is probably closer to what's actually going on here, because the word that's used to describe them is not the normal word for wisdom in Scripture, but a word that has far more negative connotations. So, for example, you get a wise man in this sense in Acts 13, a fellow called Elymas, who's a false prophet, a magician, someone who's up to no good, same term. You also get this term used in Daniel chapter 2, along with sorcerers and enchanters. These are magicians. Perhaps in modern terms, you could think about them as people who are into New Age sort of stuff and astrology. At least something like that seems to be going on. The word used to describe these people has negative connotation for the Jewish people and would also for us as Christian people. They're Gentiles, they're outside the kingdom of God. They are seekers, but they don't have the revealed truth, at least not from Scripture. They pay attention, however, to the created order. And in their attention to the created order, they are brought to Jerusalem. They see a star and they interpret this as the birth of the King of the Jews. According to their own wisdom, it gets them to Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem, they come to the king indeed, because they want to pay homage to the new king. They want to worship the new king, to prostrate themselves before the new king. I think it's good for us to think about the body language here. We're going to hear more about it as the text goes on. And it seems perhaps outrageous, very Gentile-like, very Eastern, to pay homage, to prostrate oneself before a king. To move further, away simply from their human wisdom, they must receive revelation from God. And this is what we hear about in the text. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, we don't know exactly why he was frightened. Did he believe what the Magi were saying? Well, I don't know. But you could say, definitely, it's a challenge to his authority. To have people come from outside to raise the question of his kingship, which was questionable in its legitimacy, to think that there might be a real king born that could stir up trouble in the populace, cause him concern. He's afraid. If he's afraid, the people are afraid. Calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it's been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. The chief priests and the scribes know the correct answer to the question raised by the creation and the Magi's questioning. There is a king to be born who will be born in Bethlehem, and this is the one who will truly shepherd God's people Israel. We're moving now from the created order and what can be perceived through the senses to what is revealed by God in Scripture. The chief priests know Scripture, the scribes know Scripture, and they hand on these words to Herod, who hands them on to the wise men. This is how the text goes on. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, the Magi, and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage, prostrate myself before him." He doesn't go though. Neither do the chief priests, neither do the scribes. They have the word of God, they have revelation, but it does not move them to action in faith. Now, in a Bible study, it'd be great to pause here and think about the different motivations that are going on. The text doesn't say, but invites speculation. The figure of Herod is a wonderful figure to speculate about, it seems to me. He strikes me as a rather Machiavellian fellow who will do anything he needs to do to hang on to power. It seems to me he has cynicism mixed together with credulity. What we know, though, is he has a strong grasp on power and wants to keep it. In a Bible study, that'd be fun to look at more. Interesting, stimulating. But this is a sermon, so we'll move on. It's enough for us to know today that Herod knows Scripture and does not move because of it. The chief priests and scribes know the Scripture, but will not make the short journey to Bethlehem. But the wise men, the Magi, do. And here now in the text we have the bringing together of the created order and of Scripture. And these two things bringing the Magi, the Gentiles, to Christ. When the Magi heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, I think it's difficult to know how to picture this literally, especially because when we think of stars as modern people, we think of stars out there, many light years away, big balls of gas burning. I think, though, for ancient people, stars were understood differently. I like to picture this naively and in a straight way. I think the story works well that way. But I think it's also good for us to understand that something very symbolic is going on in this account, and that we have the mixing together of the created order, the star, and Scripture, the Word of God, bringing movement to the Magi, moving away from darkness towards light, moving away from ignorance towards wisdom, moving away from not knowing God to seeing God revealed in Christ. The text says, when the Magi saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. Think about someone in our own modern world who is interested in New Age things, something like that, a searcher but has never heard about God, and then hears about the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and the great mercy of God revealed in Christ. And imagine the great joy such a person could experience when they hear who God actually is, that they are not under the malign influence of heavenly planets and stars, but that the Creator of all that there is shows great love for them and shows mercy towards them in Christ. Think of that sort of joy, and I think we have that sort of joy going on in this account of the Magi. On entering the house, the text says, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and they paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's good for us to think about the body language here. They go into the house where Christ is with his mother, Mary. This house made holy by the presence of Christ. And they come into the house, and in the house where the glorious presence of God is, they kneel down and prostrate themselves before the infant Christ. This is a picture of worship, of true worship in the presence of God. And going on with this worship imagery and language, they offer their gifts, and their best gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Gentiles are brought into the household of God. They have unity with Christ and his mother. We think of unity with the church. And the gifts which God has given them, even as Gentiles, are now brought into the service of God. Now, this is a beautiful thing to consider. I think most of us here have a Gentile heritage. My heritage, as far as I know, is almost wholly Gentile, perhaps a little bit of Jewish blood in me, it seems. None of my ancestors were worshippers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had to have this revealed to them, the message of the gospel brought to them. And then they used the gifts which God had given them as Gentiles in the service of God in the building up of the church. I've got some German heritage in me from both sides of my family, and we know that the Germans have brought many good things into the service of God. Gentiles now bringing their gifts to the service of God. Today in the children's address, I talked about singing as a gift that we can have from God, used in God's service and building up the body of God in Christ. Think of a German fellow like John Sebastian Bach, right? Great gifts given by God, used in the service of God. Liturgical music, praising God and bringing joy to God's people. His ancestors weren't worshippers of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. They had to be brought into the household of God through the gospel. But now that they're in the household of God, the best gifts used in the service of God. All of you here have gifts given to you by God. All of you have gifts given to you that you can use in the service of God for the building up of the church. That's one of the things that is going on in today's texts. We are brought in, people who are Gentiles by background, by and large, and we're brought to Christ, and there we worship the true living God, and our gifts are used in his service for our own joy and for the building up of the body. Here's how the text goes on. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. From creation to Scripture, from Scripture to Christ himself, and the giving of the best gifts and then a safe journey home. And that's how it is for us. A safe journey home provided by our God. Listen to how Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 11. I quoted this at the beginning of my sermon. Let's hear how it goes on directly. It's an invitation from our Lord. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we come to Christ, we come to the one who shows us the gentleness and the humility of God, stooping down into our world to be with us, stooping down into the manger, into the lap of his mother Mary. This is the light of God revealed to us, so that we can come into this light, receive gracious gifts from a merciful God, and find joy and a safe journey home. Well, may God grant this to us, this Epiphany tide, so that the gifts we have may be joyous for the building up and for the praise of God.